Hey, everybody. Good morning. It is a great morning this morning, I think. We've got some really cool stuff going on here this morning, and we get to be part of, well, I don't know if I'm, wow. I don't know what the right word is, biased, I guess. But from my perspective, this is the most caring, the most loving spiritual family in Ogle County. And we all get to be a part of that. And that is just amazing. I want to thank you guys all for joining us. We have our kids right now that are going back into their fantastic area because we have the best kids teachers in the community are right here in Ogle County. And so we get to send them back to be able to learn and grow and understand scripture in a way that makes sense to them. Because obviously we all understand things a little bit differently. And so that's really awesome. We also have those of you that are online, that are joining us online. We want to thank you guys for being a part of our extended spiritual family here this morning. Now, I know there are various people that are sick or maybe you're out of town. And so we love the fact that we have technology to bring you right here into our family. However, we also know that you know, as great as it is to have you joining us online, that's nothing like being here physically in person and being able to understand and connect with the Lord and connect with the people of Leaf River Baptist Church and kind of understand what the Lord is doing in our lives. So I really want to encourage you to come on down in person if you're able to. I want to tell you guys really quick here. I'm going to introduce somebody, but I got to get there. I can't just not talk. I want to tell you guys real quick an ancient Greek legend. An ancient Greek legend, and this is really interesting. In ancient Athens, okay, so this is more than a couple of years ago, it's a long time ago. In ancient Athens, a man noticed a great storyteller, Aesop. Maybe you guys have heard the thing, you know, Aesop's Fables. Well, this man noticed this great storyteller, Aesop, playing childish games with some little boys. He laughed and jeered at Aesop, asking him why he wasted his time in such frivolous activity. Aesop responded by picking up a bow and loosening a string and placing it on the ground. He then said to this critical Athenian, he said, "Now answer the riddle if you can. Tell us what the unstrung bow implies." The man looked at it for several moments, but had no idea what the point Aesop was trying to make was. Aesop explained, "If you keep a bow always bent, it will break eventually. But if you let it go slack, it will be more fit for use when you want it." People are also like that. That's why we need to take time for rest. As a matter of fact, last week, if you were here with us last week, we saw that God created and God modeled for us a time of rest in Genesis chapter 2, verse 3. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it God rested from all his work and all he had done in creation. Well, this morning I want to introduce you to a man that has taken this idea of biblical rest very seriously. He has felt the Lord lead his life, and he has actually spent his retirement years serving the Lord by creating a special place for pastors to be able to rest. You know, pastors spend a lot of time being able to create opportunities for others, but he has felt the call to create a space for pastors to be able to rest. A lot of times pastors will feel like they're unable to take a time of rest for whatever reason, various reasons. And so it's not good for a pastor, however, to not take that same rest that we encourage you to take. And so, a lot of times it feels like there's always something to do, but it's not good for the pastor, it's not good for his family, and it's not good for the church to ignore, for the pastor to ignore this idea of rest and this command that God has given us to rest. Anyway, let me introduce you to Dave Decker. Dave and his wife Louise have personally ministered and helped provide a unique way of rest for over 3,000 pastors and missionaries since 2003. The Deckers were our missionaries of the month last month, and so it's a treat for us to get to hear from them this month. It's a treat for us to get to understand a little bit about what they do. Now, Dave is actually serving as an interim pastor right now, and the place that he's serving has blessed us by allowing him to come and share with us this morning and share about what the Lord is doing in Deer Ridge, what the Lord is doing with our donations, frankly, and just how God is working through him and his wife to be able to minister to pastors, not just from Ogle, Stevenson, Lee County, but from all over the world. And so let's welcome Dave together, and let's be excited to hear what Dave has to share for us this morning.
Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much, Pastor. It is a joy, absolutely, to be here with you. And I think the last time I was here with you, you were shipping Randy and Paula out of the area. And lo and behold, I was at Menards just the other day, and this woman started walking toward us. And the closer she got, why, I said, Paula! And she said, I think she said David first, actually. And so we had a chance to visit a little bit with her and hear about what's going on with them. And that was a big joy for us to have her. I think that's that clicker that I'm supposed to bring up here. Come on, sweetheart. Come up here. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. I just want you to meet my wife, Louise. You know, pastors sometimes say, my wife this, my wife that. And then when they come to the retreat facility, a lot of times they're talking about their wife. I said, what is your wife's name? She would probably like you to call her by her name instead of my wife. And so I kid them, but I'm actually quite serious about it. And so this is Louise, and she'll hear more about her in the next several minutes to come. Yeah, you can go down there. But just be prepared for me to call you back up. Because I'll tell you what, she is an incredible lady, and she works very, very hard. As a matter of fact, it's difficult for me not to get emotional about all the things that she does. She's very gifted, and God has blessed me to have her. And so I just want to take a few moments to explain to you what it is that we do, in case you don't know. And I've got a few pictures here, because we are providing the gift of free Sabbath rest retreats for pastors and spouses. And that means that when they come to our facility, they don't pay a dime. We want them to know that this is a gift for them. And so they come to us on Sunday afternoon, and they stay with us until Friday morning. And they get three meals a day. They get all the snacks they want. They get a king-size bed in their room and a full bath. And it's all there for them to receive. And when they receive, it helps them to understand how important it is to be receivers instead of givers, because they're not really very good at the receiving part. They're good at the giving part, but they have a difficult time sometimes being good receivers. And so it's very important for us to... And I'm going to start this and see if it's going to work. Does it move forward? Yeah. So Deer Ridge Ministries, and all these pictures will show you a little bit more about our facility, but established in 2003, serving pastors and missionaries, helping our guests keep their ministry and marriage in healthy balance, ministered simply to nearly 3,000 pastors. We don't really put that number on there anymore, because it just keeps getting more, and who knows how many they have. And some of them come back. Well, some of them do come back, and we let them come back if they are gone for a couple of years. And this is our theme verse. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my heart after you, O God. My soul pants or longs for the living God. That picture was taken on our grounds. And so if those of you that are hunters, I'm sorry, but those two deer have been long gone. No question about it. And to continue on here, this is as you're coming into the facility, God has blessed us with this incredible house, 7,200 square feet. As I said, five bedrooms and two libraries and two kitchens and all that sort of thing. And so this is our facility. And good things are going to happen, and they will continue to happen because the Lord is continuing to show us what it is we need to do to be the kind of help and comfort that we can be for our guests. And they come with a lot of stuff, and you'd be surprised. There's nothing that they tell us. We schedule time with them when they're with us. So when they walk in the door and they get settled in, we tell them that there's on our record here and for you to know in your room that we're going to meet with you at a certain time. And they all know that's coming. And so when they gather together in the room and we close the doors, they have the opportunity to talk to us about things that they simply cannot talk to most anybody else because they're going through situations. It could be their marriage is in struggle for some reason, or their children are having some difficulties, and it's really, really bothering them. And they're who are they going to talk to? Yes, they are. They are praying and they're crying and they're doing those things. But sometimes they need somebody to talk to, and so we spend time talking with them and praying with them. This is the chapel. This is a little building off to the side of our building, our main building, and this is the chapel. It's a lovely place. It looks like a living room. People come in there, we say, well, we want you to go see the chapel, and they think there's going to be chairs like this in a row, and they're going to come, but this is what it's like. It's just a place for them to be comfortable and to sit and enjoy the scenery, and you'll find that in the chapel, every once in a while, you see that. And so there's a deer this morning. I saw three of them come by. And just, you know, they walk and say hi and they keep on going, and that's all. That's all. They're part of the deal. But this facility is just there. And I put this picture on here because I want you to know, and that one just says to pray for this couple. And the reason I'm asking you to pray for this couple is because they're an incredible couple. They love the Lord. They've been at their present location for 19 years. But the church and the board got some idea involved in their mind and decided that they didn't want him anymore, and so they told him that he was done. And it's an incredible thing, and we just can't understand how it happened, and neither can they. And so we've been praying with them and talking with them and weeping with them and all the rest of it. But this is a couple that you just need to understand that Aaron and Janice are two people that we really love, and I just threw that on there for you. These continue to be pictures of our location, and I call those Louise's irises, and they're coming up now. How many of you love irises? Yes, and so I'm sure you have them, and we've got them all over the place, and we have these are just the scenes. And why do we have these here? Because we want the pastors to feel comfort. We want them to relax. We want them to enjoy God's creation. It's a wonderful thing to do. And so these little characters are there. And I like showing this picture because this picture shows you, this was a particular week that we had four couples, all from different states, North Carolina, Ohio, Illinois, and Missouri. And that's always fun when that happens. These people have a terrible time. You can tell by the look on their faces. They can't wait to get out of the place. And so when they leave us, they will absolutely have a different look on their face. And they have had time then for four days to really rest physically, to receive spiritually, to get some understanding about what's going on in their lives. It's an extremely important need that we have. And there's just not enough places like this that can really minister to these needs. And so I just wish there were more and more, and we're doing what we can. This is the pastor's wife's getaway, and this particular event is an annual event that we have for pastor's wives. They come from all over the place, and they bond in about 36 seconds. They're making friends, and they're the two gals in a room at the Baymont, and it's just a wonderful experience for them, and we do charge for that. So if you know, they're there for 3 days, all the meals they get, staying in the motel and everything, and it's about $100. So that's terrible, isn't it? And this is what a table looks like when you're at Deer Ridge and you're a guest there. That's what the table looks like every meal, every evening. We want it to be first class so that they would say to us, well, we don't need you to do all that. And we say, no, we know we don't need to do this, but you need to know how much God loves you. And we love our volunteers. They're very, very important to us. We don't have enough volunteers, and some of those people are not able to be with us anymore, and so it changes. And you know that in church, that sort of thing changes, and it's kind of a circle. And so we always need volunteers. Nobody gets paid at Deer Ridge. Nobody. Nobody gets paid. And so I'm not going to tell you why that happens or how it happens, but I'm just telling you that's the truth. But they come, and then this particular weekend, May 28th, is Spring Spruce Up. And that's when people come, volunteers, they come, and we have things to do out on the property just to make sure everything, the weeds are pulled, and the mulch is on, all the berms and that sort of thing. And so that's what happens. It's a great day. People get there at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we have lunch together, and then everybody leaves sometime around 2 o'clock. You see that person on the right? That's Louise. She leads by example. And so that's how all that works. There's a couple of board members right here, and they're not bored at all, frankly. And they get the truck comes, and everybody's happy, and they're helping, and they're doing what they need to do, and we give them lunch after that. And that's what's going on. That's what's going on at Deer Ridge Ministries. And this is what we feel about what we do. A rested and spiritually renewed pastor and spouse lead a revived and dynamic congregation who reaches a lost people in their Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the far reaches of the world. Because that's where it is. And sometimes they come from the far reaches of the world. And it's always our joy to have missionaries stay with our pastors. Here's the thing. Pastors like to talk about church. They can't shut up about church. We want them to stop talking about church. They're at our place not to be talking about church. And so when we have missionaries come, that changes. Someone told us when we first started, you just have to have pastors and it'll be good. And don't get the mission. No, it's too confusing. And I thought, okay, for several years we didn't have missionaries come. And then a missionary called us and said, we need to come. And we had a space, and we thought, why not? So we brought them in. And I always tell people that missionaries among the pastors bring a certain flavor into the whole atmosphere, and it just changes things. And guess what? The pastors aren't talking about church all the time. And so it's really important for us to realize that, and as Pastor said, when your pastor is healthy, the chances are your congregation is healthy. When your pastor is not healthy, the pastor is not being the pastor that God wants the pastor to be, and so things don't get to be as healthy as they ought to be. This facility right here, this property is just west of our property. It's 2.5 acres that we purchased a little while ago, and because that's there, God has given us an assignment, and we're building another building. And these are some of the scopes and the different looks of the thing as it goes. And there's Louise. There's Louise again. She's everywhere. And she got a chance to operate that machine. I was terribly jealous for several days. And this is how it's continuing to go. And this is the facility. It just keeps going and going. And it's been amazing. Even in the winter, in the cold, they've been working on this. This is inside. This is what we call the big room in this facility. There'll be different things that we'll be able to do here for pastors in a different fashion, in a different way. And so we want you to continue to pray for us, and we thank you so much. At last, we got these little wonderful cards and reminders of that you care for us, and we certainly do care for you. And you're one of those churches that has supported us, one of the longest supporting churches that we've had in our ministry. And so we're really thrilled about that. And it keeps happening, and we're so glad that we're able to tell you today, thank you so very much. We need more helpers. It's essential for us to do that. We need more helpers. We need people that know how to clean a room on Friday. We need people that know something about outdoors and that sort of thing, because we want to keep that nice. We need people that like to mow lawns. Hey, I've got a nice 60-inch deck. It's a really nice little mower. It's really fun to ride, and if you want to come out there and do some of that lawn work, we're happy to have you do that. So there's a lot of things to do. This Wednesday, we're going to go pick up some things, and I need some helpers with that. So it continually goes, and we continue to do the things that God has called us to do. We want to honor God with the things God calls us to do. And I don't see myself ever being retired. I just want to continue to be used of God in ways that I can help the kingdom as much as possible. And so we are so thankful that we have had this opportunity to do this since 2003 and moving forward. I want to talk to you about this. I want to talk to you about the church on fire. Now let's go back to that look on that the one that we just passed up. It was I'm the one that hit it. So let's just go back one if you can do that. I want to talk to you this morning about the church on fire. I want to talk to you about some of the things that you, my brother, mentioned in your prayer this morning. There's so much going on this morning in what's going on in this building today that is so important. Everything is coming together very, very wonderfully. Everything that I've listened to is just saying, it's preparing me to share with you this message today that will encourage you, that will help you to be stronger as a church. And so I want to read from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And if you got your Bibles, you know which page to go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts is the book of Acts. So that's it. This is what it says. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you know that in Leaf River Church, every day the Lord would add that number daily, those who are being saved? Wouldn't that be an amazing thing? Wouldn't it be an amazing thing if today we had to have two services because we didn't have enough room to take care of all the people? And you're saying to me, but this is a small community. This is a small community. No, your pastor's already mentioned it this morning. There are people all over the place that don't even know what it means to know Jesus Christ personally as Lord and Savior. How are we going to take this challenge and move forward in it? It's always the cry of every pastor that has a desire to reach people for Christ, because that pastor will also have a congregation that wants to reach people for Christ. Recently, I was fascinated to learn that the largest wildfire recorded in history is known as the Great Fire of 1910, which is also referred to as the Big Blow-Up or the Big Burn. If you can imagine this, it was a wildfire that burned about 3 million acres, which is approximately the size of Connecticut. In two days, it burned land from northeast Washington to northern Idaho to western Montana. It burned over 2 days and killed 87 people, including 78 firefighters, and is still believed to be the largest fire recorded in history. Today, all evidence of that fire, as once it was seen like this, all evidence of that fire that took place is gone. It's been totally redone, of course, over the years. No one would even know that there was a fire of such magnitude in that place. But I want to tell you something. There was another fire that started 2,000 years ago, and that was a different kind of wildfire, and it's still burning today, and at least in some places around the world, brighter and hotter than ever before. The fire was sparked by a revival and an arrival of the Holy Spirit in the church. What does a church set on fire by God's Spirit look like? What does a church look like? How does it function? How does it act? How do you know the fire is even burning? For those answers, we look at a passage today in Acts chapter 2. And taking a look at the earliest moments of church history on record, we read of the birth of the first church. The fire of God's Spirit had fallen on the disciples. They had gone out into the streets, preaching the gospel, and 3,000 people in one day came to faith in Christ and were baptized. Now, you've got thousands of new believers who have no building to meet in, no pastor to lead them, no denomination to guide them, no creeds, no codes, not even a complete Bible. All they had was a faith in the Son of God and a fire ignited by the Spirit of God. You're looking at the charter membership of the first church in history. These 3,000 converts needed to be instructed in the truth of God, connected with the people of God, if they were going to grow in the grace of God and be all that God wanted them to become. Remember, the early church was charged with the responsibility not of making converts, but of making disciples. And this is one of the things that I talk to pastors about when they come to our retreat. And I want them to revisit their call to ministry. It's very important when they're away from all the rest of it and they get together with God. And they go to the chapel many times they do. And I just say, take some time to talk to the Lord about your call. Take some time to make sure that you're on the right pathway and you're moving in the right direction. And if you're discouraged, let's talk about that too. And let's pray. And by the time we get to the end of the week, you feel ready to go and ready to continue to move forward with what God has you to do. It's so important that we understand. It's so important that we realize that there's a fire that needs to be lit, and it's our job to make sure that fire continues to burn. We see a picture today of the church where the fire burns brightly. Now, beginning in verse 42, God has given us a snapshot of a church that was hitting on all 8 cylinders. You're going to see that this church, basically was allowing one thing to happen, and that is to allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to burn brightly on it. What does a church look like when a fire burns brightly? There are 4 simple signs that identify a church on fire. Number 1, committed to truth. Committed to truth. Now, I know in your folder, there's a part on the folder in the back that says, there's a place for you to take notes. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. Committed to truth. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, 42. So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and the prayers. The very first thing this early church decided that they were going to do was to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, they're not just thinking about it, but they're going to devote themselves to the apostles' teaching. When the pastor says, we're going to get together and we're going to have a study and we're going to look at this study, we're going to devote ourselves to that because it's going to help us and strengthen us in essentially the thing that we're all about, and that is to share the love of God with the people that God has given us to know. They were going to build their lives around the teaching of God's word. They were going to look at it, they were going to listen to it, they were going to learn from it, and they were going to live by it. They were going to get under the complete authority of the Bible in every part of their life. For the early church, there was no separation of the Sunday from Monday. Remember what I'm saying. For the early church, there was no separation of the Sunday from the Monday. When I walked into the prayer room today, and I was listening to some of the fellows talk about the fact that this room can become very full, and that people are coming to pray during the week a couple different times, and I'm thinking to myself, this is an amazing thing. It will provide a foundation of strength in the church and keep things moving in the right direction. And that's what was happening here in the scriptures. There was no separation of the Sunday from the Monday. In other words, when Monday came, it wasn't like, well, yesterday was Sunday, but today is Monday, and so we can think about life differently, or we can not even concern ourselves with Sunday. We'll just wait until next Sunday, and between next Sunday and the following Sunday, we're going to kind of scoot through life the best we can. And when we walk into the church, I used to always talk about this. My parents sometimes would have arguments as they were driving to church. And so we were four of us in the car, and Mom and Dad were not getting along. It was just one of those things. Every once in a while it happened, and so they're driving to church. And so they get out of the car, and they're, you know, kind of, and the kids are, you know, getting in the side. And we walk in the door of the church, and they come to the church, and they walk in the door and go, "Hi, how y'all doing this morning?" Well, I'm from Chicago. They didn't say, "How y'all doing?" But they said, "How you doing? You know, you just come in and everything is fine." I mean, everything. "How you doing?" "Oh, we're just fine, you know." And as a 9-year-old boy, I'm listening to all this stuff and I'm thinking, "Oh, brother, I guess I better mind my own business and just keep on moving." Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. "How you doing Thursday?" "Oh, brother. Oh, brother, if you just want, if you got time to listen to what I've been going through, blah, 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 blah." I wonder if we're talking to God about some of that stuff instead of somebody else. Every aspect of life was to be brought under the authority of God's word. They were going to do life by the book. Do you realize that what I'm doing up here right now is something that you do every single Sunday? You come together in the church. Do you realize that it is the same thing that millions of people do around the world when they go to their church? We take the same book and preach a message from it week in and week out to a group of people who come together for the express purpose of hearing someone teach out of this book. Islam does not do that. Buddhism does not do that. Hinduism does not do that. A church on fire, burning brightly, is a church that is centered around the preaching of the Word of God. Amen? Amen? When Paul was trying to teach a young man named Timothy on how to pastor a church the right way, he said, "Until I come," 1 Timothy 4:13, "until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching." He wanted him to learn. He was a student. Why would any church be so consistently devoted to hearing a message from the same book week in and week out? Because the wisdom of God makes human wisdom look foolish. Because one day a week with this book would change more lives than a year of Dr. Phil. Because the Bible alone has the greatest answers to our greatest questions. The second mark is, if I can hit this thing right, the second mark is compassionate toward the needy. The church of today needs to be committed to truth and compassionate toward the needy. And all who believed, Acts chapter 2, verses 44, 45, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. Nothing astonished the outside unbelieving world when they looked into the life of the church like what we just read. The culture of that day was the same as the culture of our day. Dog eat dog, every man for himself, look out for number one, get out of my way. Everybody is on his own kind of journey. You see the polar opposite of that here in this early church. Voluntarily, on their own, moved by the Spirit of God, here was a church looking out for each other, meeting each other's needs, sharing and caring. They were more interested in giving than receiving and more excited about serving than being served. When the fire is burning brightly, you share the heat of God's love with those who are living in the cold. You share the light of God's truth with those who are living in the dark. This was a church that understood that when you hear someone else's stomach growling, you share your food. When you see someone else shivering, you share your coat. You don't even think about it. You just do it. I'm just amazed at how this early church sold everything they had. They put it all in one basket and then passed the basket and just said, take anything that you need. Take anything that you need. What is mine is yours. Please, please. When you read this in the original Greek language, it was not something that they did permanently. This is not a requirement for us, but still, it does tell us about the kind of spirit that we will have in our soul when the fire of the Holy Spirit is burning in our heart. It is the spirit that we find in Romans chapter 15, verse 2. Each one of us needs to look after the good of the people around us, asking ourselves, how can I help? Pastor, I love your heart for your church. I love your day. You need to pray for this man like every day. Ah, amen. I know you know the word. I know you know it. Do you know why this is so foreign to so many Christians? So much of our culture drives us to an individualism that totally cuts the heart out of compassion and caring. From an early age, we're taught to have things our way and to make sure our needs are catered to. It's the attitude that says, I want church to be the way I want it, whether it reaches the next generation or not. This couple that I showed you their picture, there are people in their church that are just exactly like that. And they have been like that for generations of time. Let me tell you something. Those people are going to be really surprised when they come before the Lord. We are here to support one another. We are here to support our leadership so that they know that they can do the things that God has put in their heart to do. Do you know what happens when you take time and energy to quit focusing on your own needs and start focusing on the needs of others? Do you know what will happen? We will have our needs met together. God will bring someone into your life that can meet your needs. You have some needs I can meet, but you can't. I have some needs that you can do that I can't, but together we can meet each other's needs. We are here. We are a family. We are church. Not only do we know the Word of God, but we live the Word of God. Not only do we get people saved, but we make disciples so that they can go make more disciples, friends. That's the one big thing that's been lacking in the church for the last decades of time. People bring them in and they want the people, they want the crowd to build, they want more and more people. Well, what's going to happen with these people? They want to get entertained because of the music, and so we want to try to entertain them. We want to make sure all the pictures look right so that they can be impressed with those things. We want to have good coffee in the narthex because we know that's important to them, and we don't want to disappoint them because they may walk out the door. But if we're making disciples, they'll be part of the serving, not the receiving. Let's take the obvious. Did it cost the early church to do this? Absolutely it cost them. When you give up something you have and you give it to somebody else, you're sacrificing what you have. Yes, if you do a cost-benefit analysis on the benefit of serving others, you will find the benefit far outweighs the cost. Did you notice what verse 46 says? Acts 2:46, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This was a happy, excited, enthusiastic church because they had learned the greatest joy in life, the greatest achievement in life, and the greatest benefit in life comes when you sacrifice yourself for somebody else. When the fire is burning brightly, we will be compassionate toward the needy. And so we have a church that's committed to truth, a church that's compassionate toward the needy, and a church that's connected in community. I heard your pastor talk about it. Opportunities to be involved in the community. We need to be involved in the community. People need to know, you know, what is that church down the road there? What is that church, that Baptist church? I wonder what they do over there. What do they do over there? Well, the only way they're going to know is not for you to say, well, you need to come to church and find out. No, you need to go to them and help them know what you know. How do we witness for Christ? Do we have to know 17,000 verses? Do we have to have the Bible memorized? No, not really. You need to let. You just need to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Do you hear me? You need to know what you believe. You need to know how to write down what your story of faith is. If you haven't done that, Pastor, if you haven't done that, your congregation needs to do that. They need to write down their story about how they came to know Jesus Christ and what it's meant for them, because that's the best thing that you can tell somebody that hasn't got one clue about what it means to follow Jesus. Now, we need to be connected in community. Remember, these converts were Jewish. They were accustomed to going to the temple and worshiping the Lord together. They were very familiar with being in a congregation. But now God is moving them to a deeper level, from congregation to community. To put another way, from membership to fellowship. Listen again, Acts 2:44, in a different translation. All the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. That's exactly what friends do. They meet together and share together and care together. Notice where this took place. And day by day, Acts 2:46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. This is something that really had never been done before. People were meeting for worship, prayers, and fellowship in homes. Peter gave a very strange command when he said, "Open your homes to each other." Why did God have the early church meeting in homes? Why was he breaking up that large group of thousands of converts into small groups meeting in homes? By the way, did you hear those two words, small groups? Small groups, because fellowship will never turn into friendship in a crowd. In case you didn't know, the early church met in homes for the first 300 years of its existence. As you can imagine, the homes were very small. In other words, beginning with the early church, churches were really nothing more than what you would call a collection of small groups. That's why getting involved in community through small groups is a core value of the church. What did I say? I said it's a core value of the church. It's not just a preference for us, but a biblical principle. If you're not in a life group or a small group, get in one today. You've got plenty of opportunities. If you'd like to build your life around the teaching of God's Word, meet new friends who can encourage and help you in your daily walk, and then you can do so by joining a small group. Long before the church ever had baptistries and worship centers and pulpits, they had kitchens and dinner tables. God understood that there's a need in every believer's life for community and for fellowship. That's so important for us today, because our society has set all of us up for isolation. Think about it. How do we communicate with each other today? Primarily through three ways: Facebook, tweet, or text. More and more face-to-face interaction and communication is going by the wayside. And when COVID hit us, fellowship went out of existence. And do you know what else is going by the wayside? Good old-fashioned hospitality. It's no accident that hospitality and hospital come from the same Latin word, for they both lead to the same thing, which is healing. Healing. We live in a world today that's like nothing you ever saw before in your life. Amen? You are seeing things and hearing things and watching things and spending too much time looking at it all, for sure. What did you hear about it today? Oh, I heard this. What are we going to do about that? I don't know. How are we going to survive this? Inflation. Inflation? Holy smokes. It's going out the roof. What are we going to do? Are we going to give up? Are we going to lose sight? Or do you realize that this happens to be, incredibly, the best opportunity for the church that you have ever seen in your lifetime. Do you know your story? You know who you are in Christ. Are you ready to share that? You talk to somebody in a line at the grocery store. I do that. Louise knows I do that stuff. I walk down the hallway, the lines, you know, especially when everybody had the masks on, you know. I'd have my mask on. People come my way, I say, "I'm smiling at you." It's so much fun. People laugh back and they kind of open up and their eyes open up a little bit because they're troubled. Their eyebrows are just like down like this, you know. But then somebody says, "Hi, do I know you?" "I don't think you do, but who cares?" Amen. I want to be out there in the world. I want to talk to people about the source of my joy. When you open the door of your home to somebody, do you know what you're telling that person? You're saying, "You matter to me and you matter to God, and I want to invest part of my life in a part of your life." This morning at 3:00 in the morning, Pastor, I was just thinking about something that just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. And I thought to myself, you know, why aren't we doing this as a church? And maybe it's not practical enough, because we've got to be practical in the things we do. But what if all of you people knew where each other lived, and either spent time in the backyard having a cookout, or came in and had coffee and pie, and everybody did it, and you just did it because this was the day that everybody comes together and just has a great fun seeing where other people live and what's going on in their life and how they're doing. There's some people that are vivacious and they're active and they're cool and all that sort of thing. And we have other people that are quiet and they're not saying too much about anything, but they're really lonely at home, and we don't know what's going on at home. And I'm not saying it needs to be done, but I'm saying it could be kind of cool. Listen to this verse, 1 Timothy 3:14-15. "Because I want you to know, when you invite somebody into your home, you're really saying to them, 'For this time in your life, you are part of my family.' In light of that, listen to this verse. I am writing," 1 Timothy 3, "I am writing so you will know how to live in the family of God. That family is the church." 1 Timothy 3:14-15. I want you to get this into your mind. The church is a family. It is not a building, an organization, a club, and not an institution. Church is not a place where you go. It is family where you belong. It is very easy to spot a family that really loves each other, because there is one telltale sign. They love to be together in community. There is nothing that helps a fire to burn more brightly than bringing coals together. The final mark this morning, the final mark is this one, and it is concern for unbelievers. Concern. As the church on fire, we are committed to truth. We are compassionate toward the needy. We are connected in community, and we're concerned for unbelievers. How does this end? It says, Acts 2:47, "Praising God," they're praising God, "and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." Numbers of people being saved. Here in Leaf River, numbers of people being saved. Everybody that's here is a gem and a jewel. But what about that section over there? I'm not just joking. I'm just saying there's possibilities here, and Pastor knows it, and he prays about it all the time. I know he does. We must remember that the greatest result of a fire burning brightly is not for the benefit of the people on the inside of the church, but for the people on the outside of the church. Just consider the genius of this plan. God's plan. The first generation of Christians was a turnover fruit basket of different cultures, different backgrounds, at least 15 different nationalities, where Jews stood next to Gentiles, men were worshiping with women, and the rich were sitting next to the poor. They did all of this without the benefit of a building, a budget, land, or money. How did it happen? They were attracted to the fire. How were people being saved every day? It wasn't by osmosis. It wasn't just a coincidence. It wasn't magic. Remember that verse 32. This Jesus rose up, and of that we are all witnesses. Every day, as these early Christians were just living their lives, going about their business, they were simply witnessing to what Christ had done to them, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ had changed everything. This change affected their daily lives. Verse 46 again says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes. And then it says, the Lord added to their number day by day, day by day. Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, day by day, those who are being saved. The early church isn't just a church on Sunday. They were the church every day. They had a fire that burned 24/7 that never went out. In fact, you could say their fire moved them to love God, to serve others, and to share their story. This church was not so preoccupied with simply coming together on Sunday that they forgot about Monday. When I was a kid going to church, we had church on Sunday. We had three services on Sunday. We had Sunday morning, we had Sunday mid-afternoon, and we had Sunday night. And then I don't remember going to church on Monday, but I remember going on Tuesday. Tuesday was prayer meeting. Wednesday was something, I don't remember what it was. Friday was youth group. And then it was Saturday. Occasionally, we would have some special kind of thing going. I mean, church was our life. It was. I hope that you and me, I hope for us that we see what this is all about. They came together to reignite the fire so they could leave separately and take the fire with them. What are you going to take from this place today? Are you going to weep about the things that the Spirit of God has talked to you about today? Or are you just going to, you know how it goes, you get in the car, you turn the car on, and you drive out the driveway, and all of a sudden, you look in the rearview mirror and the church is getting smaller and smaller and you're just going on with life and you may forget everything that I said today within 15 minutes. I hope for you and for me, the question is obvious. Does the fire burn brightly in your heart? Is the fire burning brightly in this church? Let it be a church on fire. It will be if we will commit to studying God's word daily, to meeting the needs of others daily, sharing the word of God together, encouraging and fellowshipping with one another daily, and sharing in ways that God gives us with unbelievers daily. May the fire in this church and in our hearts burn brighter than ever. Than ever. Father God, I thank you so much for your word. I pray for the lovely and wonderful people of this church. Lord, we all understand it. We all know it. We all feel it. But, oh God, I pray that you would help us to just to have hearts that are yielded to you, dear God, for whatever it is and wherever you want to lead us in this crazy world today. I pray, oh God, that we will understand that we are living in the last days. And we have to know, dear God, that there's something that you're calling us as a church to do. And so, Father, I pray that we'll forget about our own wants and desires. And, oh, God, we'll say, Lord, I want to serve you. And, Lord, tell me where to go. Tell me what to do. And I know when we do that, Lord, you always show us the way. So bless your word to us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen.
Thank you so much, Dave. Hey, I just have a question for everybody just to kind of fill this out and kind of, you know, the last few weeks at least, I've been kind of leaving everybody with a question. And so here's my question. Is this fire, the fire that Dave shared with us today, is this fire burning brightly in your heart in your heart, not in somebody else, not in your neighbors, not in your spouse, not in your kids, is this fire burning brightly in your heart so that it can burn brightly in our church day after day? It doesn't happen with one. It happens with all that bright fire. So I want to just challenge us with that. I also want to share with us after Nathaniel's going to come up now and lead us in our final song. And after that, you're going to see in the back table, there is a offering plate. And I just want to encourage everybody, if the Lord has blessed you this morning through Dave and through what they're doing in their ministry, I want to just encourage you to give a love offering to them. And they didn't, you know, they're not asking for that or anything like that. But we just want to show them that we love, we care about them. And so if the Lord has blessed you, and if you have been encouraged by what the Lord brought today, then I just want to ask that you would serve by giving a little bit extra to them for what they're doing. So, Nathaniel, if you'd lead us in our final song.